I'm Juliana Sandholm-Bark. Welcome to this new installment of the Meet the Artist lecture series. Meet the Artist was launched in March 2018. It is hosted by the Global Citizenship Program at Webster University in Geneva, and it is held in collaboration with the Media Communications Department and the Webster Center of Creativity and Innovation. Meet the Artist holds events that enable artists, art professionals, academics, and Webster alums to speak about their creative endeavors to the Webster community. As a learning platform, its main goals are to integrate the arts across disciplines and majors to activate students' potential for creative and innovative thinking and to develop their capacity for lifelong learning. For more information about the lecture series, please visit wcci.webster.ch/events/meet_the_artist. This spring, the Meet the Artist lecture series has been a part of a course on current art, which explores questions such as, what is art? What do we want from it? What role does it play in culture? And we have met with several wonderful representatives of the art world, both in Geneva and further afield. And these encounters have been facilitated by the conferencing technology that we've been using for almost a year now. So while we have been missing out, perhaps, on seeing art in the flesh, due to the closures of museums and galleries and the postponement of art fairs, we have been enjoying the many pleasures of travel via Zoom. Our first trip was on January 21st, when we traveled to New York to meet the painter Christopher Gallego. This was followed by a meeting on February 4th in Geneva with entrepreneur Didier Schwartz, with whom we brainstormed ideas about what would make a great art event today. And on February 9th, we traveled to London and spoke with a gallerist and art advisor, Tamor Grana, and learned about what it takes to run a gallery. And earlier this week, on February 16th, we were back in Geneva and met with Helen Molesworth, an expert in gems who spoke to us about her wide-ranging career working in the jewelry industry. So it's been a wild romp through the art world these past few weeks, and we've touched upon many subjects in our discussions with the people we visited, but we still have some undiscovered territory to discuss, such as the role of technology and current art practices. And we also want to discuss the idea of how the arts can have a social impact on not just individuals, but entire communities. And Joshua Chunidze, we hope to discuss these questions with you today and more. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me. Thank you for the invitation. Hello, everyone. I hope everyone's good.
Over the past weeks, the students and I in this class have been discussing many subjects pertaining to art, discussing questions like, what is art? What do we want from art? What role does it play in culture? But we have reserved some of the best questions for today for you. You're welcome. And yeah. We look forward to discussing the role of technology and current art practices, as well as the idea of how the arts can have a social impact on communities.
Yep.
So I hope that these are questions that are relevant to your work. I think they are.
Okay.
I want to thank you again for joining us to discuss these questions today.
Ah, cool. Great. Glad to be here.
So you are an audiovisual artist, usually based in Harare, Zimbabwe, where you founded an arts collective called the Monkey Nuts. Yep. And you are currently an artist in residence at the Embassy of Foreign Artists in Geneva. And I'd like to give a big shout out to Richard Lequelec for making this meeting possible. I think he's somewhere in the background there in the room.
Maybe. Yeah, waving his arms like, yeah.
So you have agreed to be our guest here today for about an hour or so, and for us to ask you some questions about your work.
Yeah.
And the questions who are here have been looking at your work through the links that you sent us, and we have together come up with some questions for you.
Okay,
so cool. The students sent me their questions, and I've integrated them into the script that I'm using, as I've explained to them in a message just before. But if they do think of additional questions, I would ask that, and everywhere, I know we have some special guests here as well. If anybody would like to ask a question, then please use the chat box and post your question to the chat. And I've asked a couple of students to help me monitor the chat. So yeah. Thank you, Dominique and Renaud, again. Yeah. Please feel free to come in at good moments with any questions that are relevant to the discussion at that point. Mm-hmm. So, Joshua, you work in many different media, many yes. different formats, many mm-hmm. different platforms. So you have music performance, music recordings, video art, performance art, installation. So you blend so many elements. And your work has sonic, visual, spiritual, and social aspects. Mm-hmm. And there's this question of cultural heritage that is so present in many of your works. And we'd like to sort of look at all of that more in detail to understand it better, because it's a lot to take in, right?
Okay. Yeah, I guess so.
yeah, it's very complex. There's so much there. So maybe you could help take us through some of it, looking at a few works in particular that you've sent us links for.
Yeah.
And when one reads your bio notes that are sort of out there floating around the internet, one gets the sense that music is how your journey as an artist started. So yeah. Is this something you agree with, a claim yeah. that you agree with? Does it all start with music?
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. I come from a pretty much my family's a musical sort of family. My dad's a pastor, but he plays the guitar. My mom is a musician. She's a music therapist. One of my older brothers is a musician as well. I've got cousins and uncles who like play various instruments and sing and played in bands back in the day. So I've always sort of been around that and experienced that quite a lot. So yeah, definitely music is where it all really started, really. Yeah.
And I think that many people in the class are intrigued by the idea of you as a digital artist. So someone who works with, different practices, as I said before. So the idea of creating, but also producing, right, is something you do, working with video and audio, both. And then these other layers of interest, which I mentioned, which have to do with spiritual and temporal and intergenerational connections.
Yeah.
So this is not always easy for people out in the world to understand, right? This hybrid, hybridity, it does challenge perceptions that people might have of art or of music, right? Because if you think of the visual arts, it's sort of one silo. Music, maybe that's another silo, because in culture has sort of set things up in this way. It's not a good thing necessarily, but it's just sort of this way of working in a very hybrid form might seem very countercultural to some people.
Yeah.
So I was wondering about the value that working across different media have for you. What is the value exactly of being an audiovisual artist and blending these two things together?
I think it's just a form of sort of expanding my knowledge in terms of art and what art is. Because I didn't go to art school, and I come from a very limited sort of background in terms of learning art. Like, and my experience, for example, in high school was art was painting and drawing. Like, those were the things that were presented to us in art class. It was just, you come in, you draw something, and you paint. And then there was sort of this separation with like music. Music was something else, mm-hmm. and drama was something else. So it always felt like art was just one thing, and And in a sense, the only way you could make it, I guess, in art was if you were a really good painter or a really good artist, like in that sense. So, and even then our arts education was very Eurocentric, very British, because of our history. So we didn't really learn enough or too much about Zimbabwean art, African art, like Shona art or Ndebele art, you know, or Chewa art, you know. Everything was just really like very British, very Eurocentric. I mean, I knew the names of like, you know, Michelangelo, Rembrandt, Picasso, all these artists, but we couldn't really, looking back, I couldn't really like name any Zimbabwean artists or any African artists like off the top of my head. So I guess that's sort of a reaction. What I'm doing now is sort of a reaction to that. Like, it's like, oh, but there's more to it than just painting and drawing. And there's more to it than Picasso and Rembrandt. There's actually our stuff and how we express our art. So I think that's where my work really finds its character, I guess.
That's very inspiring. But you say, I mean, you had to educate yourself in all that digital stuff, right? It seems very complex. All that software that you've no doubt had to learn. And yeah. I mean, that's, so you're entirely self-educated the whole way?
To a certain extent. I mean, at one point I did learn, like I studied graphic design. I studied, I did animation for 2.5 years. But then when it comes to animation, I don't think I've really put too much of it into practice, really. I've just really been working more using sound and video in terms of like capturing live footage working with found footage. But yeah, I mean, like, I don't think it's as complex as it sounds, really. I think it's like, but the way that the world is right now, like you have access to so much information, and technologically a lot of things have happened over the years where software has actually made things a lot easier, you know, in terms of like, for example, like in music production. Like back in the day, you had to go to a proper studio to capture vocals and work on music and record. And now you have software like Ableton or even GarageBand where you can just create stuff for yourself and just learn it in a day, basically. And I think that's good. I think it's great that things like that have become a lot more accessible and easier to work with.
Yeah, well, maybe you could do it. And I know some students here could do it, but not me. I don't know if I could do it.
Yeah.
I was wondering if we could maybe take a look at a specific work that you've done at this point. So let me just share my screen and show something I found, which I believe should be familiar to you.
Yes. Wow.
So tell us about this, because this is, you know, as I was saying before, there's so many elements to this. It's sort of a performance piece, but there's also elements of installation, and there's music in there as well, technology in there as well. So maybe could you walk us through this work and tell us a little bit about it?
Where to start? So this piece is, I guess we could define it as performance installation. It's a sound piece that has performance elements to it. So there's a lot of the stuff is just props. So like the mbira and the broom, the mchairo, and the sage and the dish in the corner is like sort of like, those are all just like props. And I guess the telephone bits at the far end are props. But the piece in the middle by the stick where the guy is sitting in front of the guy, That's a sound piece. Basically, I just dismantled a phone and turned the receiver into speakers, basically. So it's got sound running through it, and it's activated by a sensor, which also lights up. So there's some lights, but you can't really see them. But it also lights up the that wire apparatus around the phone. And it's called Bones and Jewel Tones. It was for an exhibition in Johannesburg in 2018. And it was a result of a residency that I did for a festival called the Fakugesi African Innovation Festival. So the piece was put together under a theme. The theme for that year was understanding your, what was it again? Oh, I'm sorry.
It was a
But it
long
was,
time ago. I mean,
yeah,
you know, the past year feels
yeah.
like it's been 10 years because, you know, we've been living under these weird circumstances. So no worries.
But it was understanding your, I think, it has something to do with vernacular, like understanding your, it was very deeply understanding your culture in terms of technology, I guess, just like sort of the comparison between the two. And so the piece is based on the mbira, which is a traditional Shona instrument, which is used as a musical instrument, but it also carries great spiritual significance for the Shona. It's used as a, I guess, a tool to call to the ancestors, basically. So it's used as part of a ceremony called Mira, where family gathers to consult the ancestors in regards to certain issues or events that have happened within the family. So the phone basically channels Mbira. So I synthesized the Mbira, and it basically channels the tones and plays it through the receiver. And it's a metaphor, basically, of using modern contemporary technology to see if one can still communicate with the ancestors without necessarily using traditional elements, so that's basically what this piece is about. I hope I explained it well enough.
That makes it so much clearer because there are so many elements here. So you've mentioned the Shona heritage that's present in this piece. Are there heritages from the Ndebele and Chewa?
Nguni, there's yeah. I'm saying Nguni because the colors that the performance artists are wearing. I mean these are colors that have, I think they sort of like our history in Southern Africa is very much connected. So a lot of the elements that are practiced in Shona culture or Ndebele culture are connected to, for example, to Zulu or Xhosa culture. So it's like the colors tend to mean the same thing. The practice is quite similar, where she is a sangoma, I guess I could say, which is like a spiritual healer, who basically channels and understands the voice or speaks on behalf of the ancestors. So in this scenario, what would be happening was the guy would pick up the phone, the tones are playing, and she would then interpret what is being said, what is being channeled at the time. So that's pretty much it.
And was it a performance that was staged, sort of planned? Like there was a script involved, or?
Well, not really. There wasn't really a
Okay.
script. I was just like, okay, so you just come in and do this. And then
Okay.
she came in and just did her thing.
So there was some impromptu things, some kind of ad lib things going on during the
Exactly.
performance. So, I mean, one of our students had the question, how collaborative are you in your creative process? It sounds like you are.
Yeah, I do. I mean, I love collaborating. I think I love working with people because there's so much that you can learn, like even about yourself, even about your process when you're working with someone else. Like the questions that I put forward, like, okay, so what does this mean? And then how they interpret it, and how then they, like for her, like how she interpreted what I was saying. I think it really adds a different sort of dimension to a performance. And yeah, so I definitely love collaborating with other artists. And not just other artists, but just like really like anyone in general, like technologists or like graphic designers and whatnot. So I think it's great to work with other people.
Is this performance something you filmed and made a document of, or you weren't interested in doing that?
No, I didn't film it. To be honest, this was actually like my first residency, and was done in a month, which is for me is a very short time, when you're working on something. I would because I believe in like working on stuff without necessarily having to have, of course, there should be a final outcome, but I feel like it's always good to develop stuff over a longer period of time, because I feel like it gives you more time to really research and understand and really develop a more concise sort of approach to what you're trying to achieve. So for me, this was like 1 month, okay. Let's see what we can come up with. And that's what we came up with.
Yeah, you had that deadline. So deadlines are a part of how residencies work, right? You have to produce something by the end of this period of time that you get as a resident.
Well, the one I'm on right now is actually quite different, which is good. Like I was having a conversation with Richard, and he was really like putting that across, like, you don't have to have something like, but most, I think residencies are modeled like that, where you have to have a final outcome. And I think a lot of that might have to do with funding, like whoever's funding the program, they want to, I guess they want to see results. They want to see where their money's going. So I guess in a sense there is that element of having a final outcome, but I much prefer to develop something over an extended period of time.
It makes sense. Makes sense to me. So back to this work, which is called Bones and Dual Tones. This was exhibited first in Johannesburg, as you mentioned, but then it traveled to Karlsruhe in Germany, right? And did you go to the opening of this exhibition in Germany, or?
No, I couldn't go. I couldn't
Okay.
go.
Yeah, but that was a that the project I read somewhere was selected as one of the finalists or the winning pieces that got to get exhibited in Germany, right? So that must have been really exciting for you.
Yeah, pretty surprising because I like for me, like I thought the project, I mean, I still think the project isn't complete. Like, I still feel like there's more to be done and more could be done. So when I heard the news, I was like, oh, okay, cool. That's great. It was pretty exciting, but at the same time, I was like, it's like unfinished work. So
Have you gone back to it to do anything else to it since?
Not really. I mean, I think I've been writing about it here and there, sort of trying to see how I can develop it, but I haven't really like done anything like trying to piece things together physically, but just like I've just really been like theorizing it, I guess. And not necessarily like,
And what was the audience response to this work when it was exhibited?
I would say curious. A lot of people are like, okay, all right. I mean, I got a lot of questions of what are you trying to say with the piece? And like some people just didn't get it, which is okay, it's cool. But yeah, a lot of people were just curious as to what you're trying to put across. Because I think when it comes to when we talk about technology, when we talk about science, when we talk about, and to a certain extent, when we talk about art, there tends to be a little bit of a separation. I guess maybe this is just my observations looking particularly like at Western art and science and tech. There seems to be a separation between that and spirituality. So I think that's where people are like, where is this coming from? So I think people were quite curious about it.
Yeah. So there is a kind of mobilization on your part, a kind of advocacy to maybe present this work, which pulls in so many different strands into one place, right? There's kind of a, is that sort of something you did consciously, the sort of, you know, the fact that you sort of wanted to challenge people's perceptions, or did you just do something that came naturally? Was it sort of a mobilized intention on your part, or was it just sort of an organic thing that just sort of happened?
I would say it was more organic, but I would say it's something that's really been on my mind for quite some time. And just how I guess just how we look at ourselves as, I guess, Zimbabweans, as Africans, in terms of art, but more so in terms of technology, really, at the end of the day. So I'm a Christian. I come from a Christian background. So growing up in a Christian house, my dad's a pastor, we were only told that certain aspects of our culture or certain elements of our culture is bad. So like we were told that a lot of our spiritual practice is bad, and not I didn't get too much explanation as to why. And I think that's where this piece finds its root, because in a sense I'm trying to understand why certain things are deemed to be bad when there are so many similarities between what's happening in our spiritual practice are found even in Christian practice. And then bringing in that element of art and science, you can't really separate spirituality in an in a Shona sense or in an African sense. You can't like African culture is deeply spiritual. Like we're like deeply connected to nature. Nature for us is a very spiritual thing. And when you think about it, really, technology is just mimicking nature. So that connection is something that I really wanted to sort of like like present through this piece. I don't know if I'm making sense, but like, it's something that I really want to present through this piece because, yeah, I think there's a lot of unlearning that we have to do about our own culture. Like in terms of like our contribution in terms of innovation and technology. But also there's a lot we need to learn and understand because it's a different context from Western science, Western technology, and Western art.
Right.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Yeah.
So I'll stop sharing that one image.
Yeah.
I thought we could talk about Journey to Misava.
Oh, okay.
Which is the other, you look surprised, like, oh. But you did send us that link. So, and that's a very interesting work because we can really get into the digital discussion with that work, yeah. I think, on a whole other level. So it's quite different from the one we were looking at. Mm-hmm. And I was listening to the Brooklyn one. I don't know how to pronounce the second word. Sorry, Jipkati? Chipakati? I don't know. Brooklyn, yeah. The one with Brooklyn in it. Yeah. And it seemed like the perfect thing to listen to when you're in social isolation, you know, during the pandemic, stressed by it. And it's almost like an invitation to do yoga or something. Is that an okay interpretation of that video?
I think so. I think so, yeah.
But there's so many different videos on that site, right? This other one, like the Tiger Maramella.
Yeah.
Sorry if I mispronounced. It's a very different kind of video that has like a narrative.
Yeah.
It's like a story, right? We follow this guy through a day in his life, in his digital life, so to speak, via their smartphone or something like that.
Yeah.
And then the Bantu spaceships takes you in a sort of journey through space. And there's this ritualistic quality in some of the videos, like Natalie Panning and Magolide.
Yeah, Magolide.
And also something quite satiric, perhaps, going on in the Double K video.
Yeah.
it's sometimes difficult to interpret, right? What people intend, but the way the video was slowed down, the audio was sort of slowed down. It sort of made a caricature of that.
Yeah.
A little bit. So, I'd love for you to talk about these, but maybe tell us first about how the idea for this. Digital project arose.
So this project was in collaboration with a colleague of mine who I met at that residency like in 2018. So he was asked to curate an exhibition, basically. But he was really trying to create a platform that expressed African digital culture. So even like if you look at the interface, it carries a lot of African elements, like just the layout and the design, and just sort of exploring that and seeing if that is something that can be continued, even in terms of defining you know how like when you open Safari, when you open Chrome, it's Google and it's got this sort of layout that's either in English, French, whatever language. So he was really trying to use, he was trying to create like a unique language that's uniquely African in a sense, I guess, like without actually using text, but like using symbolism. So that's really where the That's how it came into being. And this was actually for the same festival. It was done last year. So his name is Nkesani Makari. And he really wanted to to create a platform that could maybe lead to more African internet. That was his description, you know, like an African internet with more symbolism that's reflective of the continent. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So
like
he
a rebranding of
pretty much. And the content really, I think it explores that to a certain extent. A lot of the content, a lot of the stuff is a lot of the content that's sort of floating around if you explore the African internet, or reinterpretations of it. Yeah.
So it was conceived as a digital project that would have an online life, right? And the videos are to be watched. I don't want to say consumed, enjoyed, explored, sort of as a collective. There are links between these videos for you?
Not really. I think it's more, I guess maybe, but I don't really think there's like a deliberate connection, like they were made deliberately to connect, but I feel like it's just an exploration of what an African digital space would look like. You know, I mean there's obviously futuristic elements to it, but yeah, that's sort of like the idea behind it. You know, like, I mean, a lot of what we consume as Africans, like if we look at it, it's like, it's YouTube, it's Netflix, it's this. So it's very Western in a sense. So to be able to go into a space where it's just African content is kind of interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's like a tapestry of cultural references, both visually speaking and also in the audio sense. Yeah. So I was going to ask you where you found your sources, because there's so many different things.
Yeah, so I worked on one particular project for that, which was the Bantu Spaceships one.
Okay.
So that one's called, that's the title for that is Journey to Me, to Misawa, which Misawa means earth, if I'm correct, in Sitonga, if I'm correct. Yeah. And it's a metaphor, I guess. It's like a journey back to earth, a journey back to nature. A journey back in a sense where there's that balance between technology and nature. That's really the gist of I think that's really the gist of the whole project, actually. Yeah.
Yeah. So we've sort of been talking about the years 2018 to 2020 so far in this conversation, which kind of brings us to 2021 and the present. And I was wondering if you could tell us a little bit about what you'd been working on during this residency in Geneva.
Cool.
It's not secret, can you talk about it?
No, it's not a secret. So I'm hoping to work on a performance art piece. It'll mainly be based on a sound piece. So in 1976, Geneva hosted a conference, the Geneva Conference, on Rhodesian Zimbabwean politics at the time. So five political, I think actually it was more than five, but like I'm focusing on four, but the five political groups were sort of invited to come and discuss the situation in Zimbabwe. So Zimbabwe was like, this is liberation struggle period. And Ian Smith, who is the prime minister of Rhodesia at the time, is refusing to give up colonial rule, basically. The nationalists, the black nationalists, want black majority rule installed immediately. So there's just like this impasse, like they can't agree. And then at the same time, there's a war going on. So the American government, the Americans came up with an idea. I think it was Kissinger came up with the idea of having a conference where they meet, we talk, we come up with a plan, and then Zimbabwe gains its independence within, I guess, the next 2 years. But no one could agree on anything. And it was basically a complete waste of time. So I am doing a sound piece, and I'm hoping to interpret it based on that. Sort of just looking at the leadership models that were sort of expressed by Joshua Nkomo, Bishop Abel Muzorewa, Reverend Ndabaningi Sithole, and Robert Mugabe. So it's really a play on this whole father of the nation theme that's often thrown around quite a bit on the African continent, where we acknowledge the great and valiant efforts that were put forward by those that came before us to bring about liberation, but at the same time, also questioning some of the bad decisions that they made, which currently affect us to this day. So it's a piece on that.
Thanks for sharing that. So this, I noticed that on the Embassy of Foreign Artists website, you're associated with a label, Art and Citizenship, Art et Citoyenneté. Well, this is kind of a question for Richard, but I was wondering about, can you get him on? No, just kidding.
Hey, Julia.
Hey, hello. Salut. No, we were just noticing that under your website, you have a category called Art and Citizenship, Art et Citoyenneté. And you categorize Joshua in that category. So the question is why?
I have something to do. No, but it's true that we have since 2 years now we have this program with thematic residency program. So we have this different thematic, which is like one is citizenship, the other one is science, there is territory, and there is stories as well. And the work of Joshua, also when he apply, I mean, he apply with the category of citizenship, and also the work he was working on at the time, because Joshua was also supposed to come 1 year ago. What about the notion of fatherhood in African politics and in Zimbabwe? And it was definitely something related with like the question of an artist questioning The political system and the relation to the political system. So it's really like a way of working as a citizen, you know, being an artist, but at the same time being a citizen, and questioning your position as an artist and as a citizen of a country and of a global and of the world. So that's why there is this category.
Okay, thank you so much. Don't you love Zoom? You've got to love Zoom.
Yeah, it's just like you can have a party.
I know. Yeah. There's so many conversation possibilities all the time.
Yeah.
Just invite everybody in your house.
Yeah.
So the project that Richard just mentioned on fatherhood and patriarchy, I remember reading about that. So is that still something that you're thinking about as an artist?
Yeah, I mean it's still there. Like I mean, I think if it's something that affects the everyday, so it's definitely still there. And I hope to bring it out with the piece that I'm gonna work on.
Well, thank you so much for answering my questions. I think we're going to open up to our wonderful audience who's here, students, but not only. If anybody has any questions for our speaker, Ngoni, for example.
No pressure.
Okay, Ngoni can go after Dominique.
Oh, please, Dominique. Go for it first.
Sorry?
Maybe let's, Ngoni, if you actually do have a question, I know you don't have much time left with us, so
I
want to give you, if you want, you don't have to, of course, but.
No, it's fine. I have a question for you, Joshua.
Yes.
I know art is not very, very popular. Like me, I studied in the villages.
Yes.
Yeah, there was very little, very, very little art, if any. Yes. So now that you have taken art to these levels, you are in Geneva, this is quite international. Back home, are you doing anything to kind of expose the young people out there to art?
Yeah. So yes, thank you for the question. I've recently turned my personal working studio into a more open studio. So my studio is called the Husiki Siki Studio. Husiki Siki, being Shona, creative means like creative arts. The hope with the space is to create a resource center for young people to come and explore different aspects of digital art. So I'll be focusing mainly on virtual reality, film, and digital audio production. And at the moment, I've actually just hired two interns who've just joined the team. I actually had a meeting with them just before this. So in a small way, I'm trying to, you know, like help young artists sort of expand their view of art and just sort of explore different aspects of art.
Okay, thank you.
No, thank you. Yeah.
There's a question from Shanisi too, I think.
Yes, hi. It's been interesting listening to to this interview, Josh. I'm in Zimbabwe and I had no idea you're doing all this work. So well done on that part. My question is this something you would ever think about? Like, we know art has been taught in Zimbabwe and in universities. And I'm just curious to know if you have ever thought about the curriculum they're teaching and just how they're teaching students art these days, you know, And I'm just saying this because I visited one university here in Zimbabwe, and I think it was an end of year exhibition. Yeah. And I think I was quite surprised with the quality of work and how there was quite a bit of lack of conceptualization. And then I just wondered, is there anyone who's actually teaching students about how to create art, any kind of art, you know? So after listening to your talk, I'm really curious to know, like, is that something you'd ever think about? I feel like it would be beneficial for maybe a student at Chinoy University of Technology studying maybe fashion design. I think to see someone doing art at this magnitude, it would really inspire them. So yeah, my question is basically, have you ever considered going into education?
Thanks for the question, Shanice. No, I've never really thought about that. I don't know, like, I didn't like school, to be honest. Like, I hated school. I hated high school. I think the only, I mean, I loved art class. But I guess what I'm interested in experimenting. I think I'm interested maybe, I guess, in alternative methods of education, I think. I'll be interested in exploring that. And yeah, like the curriculum in Zim, I don't think there's much room for that, you know, like being able to color outside the line, so to speak. I feel like it's quite rigid. But at the same time, I feel like there's some spaces that are doing a good job. Like, I know the National Gallery of Zimbabwe has a really good school of visual arts, and they're doing quite well. And I know that there are a number of galleries that are running spaces to teach. But yeah, I mean, personally for me, I don't know, maybe it's just me. I think I prefer like people just coming together and just doing stuff, you know, and I feel like stuff like what's happening right now, like just talking and just sort of sharing ideas and experiences. I feel like that's good. I don't think I would be a good teacher. I don't know. I think I'll play around too much. But thanks for the question.
Do we have any other questions?
Well, I had a question regarding the performance you did in South Africa, if I remember correctly.
Yeah.
My question was basically, with your performance, did you attempt to bring bring together traditional with modern and also spirituality and the physical, basically?
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, I think that's the culture here, really, if you think about it. Like, it's a mix of everything. Like I said, like Shona culture is deeply spiritual. You can't separate anything really from you can't separate the two. Like, so I know, for example, the Shona, when it came to hunting, that was like a spiritual process, because you would have to really think carefully about the technology that you use to go hunt. And a lot of this knowledge in terms of like how to assemble this technology, like spears and bows and all that stuff, that was stuff that was privy to a spiritual healer or the chief. They would be like, no, you need to use this type of tree and you need to use this type of poison to, you know, to trap animals, simply because everything was so deeply intricate and interconnected. You know, like you didn't want to do something to offend the ancestors, like, you know, by cutting down the wrong tree or, you know. So it's like, so I always feel like African culture has always had that I don't know what the word is. Is it cohesiveness, like togetherness, in terms of its of its outlook and perspective on things like technology and art, and you know, just like life is just one happy big ball, I guess. Yeah.
Thank you.
No, cool. Thanks.
I have a question. Hello. Just concerning, you know how a lot of children, when they go to school, they tend to learn more about European arts compared to African arts, which is quite a shame.
Yeah.
What do you think can be done in order to change that, you know, these tendencies, so that people, you know, across the world can know more about, like, in schools and universities about arts, African art.
Yeah, I think it's two things. I think Shanice touched on the curriculum. Like, I think we need to change the curriculum. Like, the curriculum has to change. But also, I also feel like our mentality has to change. Like, the curriculum, I feel like, is the easier part, but our mentality, I feel like that's gonna take some time. And I think also it's because when we talk about Africa and we talk about history, we tend to focus a lot on the 20th century. So, like, our more recent history, like our colonial history and our, to a certain extent, post-colonial history. And then when we talk about pre-colonial history, it's sort of like just like a footnote, like a prelude to colonial history. So I feel like we really need to look beyond the 20th century to have a more, I guess, a deeper understanding of what African art history is all about, because I think that's where it really begins for me. Like there was art before colonization, honestly, and even during colonization, we still managed to make art. But I feel like those two really need to be tied together to really shape a more in-depth understanding of what art is and means in an African context.
Well, thank you.
Cool.
Any last questions? Because we're almost out of time, but there might be room for one more if anybody has one. Or Joshua, do you have a question for us?
Do I? I think there's one question I wanted to, I guess, but this is, yeah, like I would really like to, yeah, but I've been asking Richard as well, but like even just from you, like where to sort of like, I know there are a lot of museums, but just like which ones really would be a good starting point in terms of like Swiss art, like learning and understanding Swiss art.
Well, Dominique can tell you that.
Me? How so?
Yeah, because you go to exhibitions all the time. I'm impressed.
Right. I mean, particularly for Swiss artists, I'm not sure, but the biggest one in Geneva is Memco. But the issue is, because of the whole COVID situation, all museums are closed for now. Yeah. But normally, starting the 1st of March, from what they said yesterday, they
should be able You should be able to go out. Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
And the best, I think there's two places in Geneva that I'd love to go for exhibitions. There's one in Old Town because you have many galleries. Mm-hmm. And in Center City near Plein Palais, basically where the MAMCO is, you have a road called La Rue des Bains with a lot of other galleries, which is a completely different style from the ones you will find in Old Town.
Okay, cool. No, thanks a lot for that.
Pleasure.
Yeah, Richard wants to.
Then I was thinking also, like, there is an interesting for you also, like, thinking of your performance. There is a costume museum, if I'm not mistaken, in Basel, which is like a huge collection of like a Swiss traditional costumes. But they're also cool. But after in the on the shelf, I know that there is plenty also on books. The Musée de Chillon, I think it's a kind of castles. So there is probably this kind of like a more, like not contemporary museum or contemporary institution, but more traditional arts. Musée de Chillon could be also like an interesting place to go. It's a very old castle, like medieval castle.
Oh, cool. Dope.
Super. This is such fun. Well, it depends on, like, there's a Paul Klee Museum in Bern also. You should probably go see Bern because it's the capital.
All right.
Nobody talks about it, but it actually is the capital.
Like, I honestly,
people usually assume Zurich's the capital because it's sort of the powerhouse of Switzerland. But
Bern is the
Bern capital. Has some, you know, the Paul Klee Museum specifically.
Yeah.
If you like him, because he's into music and visual forms too, right? So,
yeah.
Basel's worth a visit. Zurich's worth a visit. Geneva.
Okay. That's what I was gonna. In Zurich, you have the Kunsthaus, the museum, which is beautiful, and there's always three, four exhibitions at the same time.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, Zurich's a very artsy capital with an alternative art scene as well.
Oh, cool.
So it's a very interesting place for galleries and sort of alternative centers and things like that.
Yep.
In addition to having the big museums with a very cool permanent collection and temporary exhibitions. What else can we recommend in the way of culture? We're all kind of starved for culture because we've been denied it for so many months. You know, we haven't been doing anything. Lausanne. Lausanne has a really cool new museum. We were just talking about it in class a few days ago. It's called the Musée Cantonal des Beaux-Arts. It's a beautiful new space that makes you feel like you're a little bit in London, like the Tate Modern. On a smaller scale, but still cool. It's a really good place for museums, though. It's a good place to see collections, see art.
Yeah. Oh, cool. No, thank you for the recommendation. Thank you.
You should get one of those passeport musée things that will grant you access to all the museums while you're here.
Oh,
maybe Richard can give you one. I'm going to get myself into trouble. It's called a passeport musée. I don't know if, or maybe as a resident, you have access to all the collections.
Yeah, well, I'll slip Richard a 50.
Cool.
Yeah.
Well, it's been such a pleasure. I really hope you enlighten the minds of the people you meet here to help people integrate maybe more spirituality into art, because I think it's important and we don't talk about it enough. Maybe it's something we've lost here in the West.
I find it interesting though, like the history that Switzerland has with like the churches, like Calvinism and a lot of the Protestant sort of and Catholic sort of history, that I guess maybe it is, I mean maybe it's there, but it's interesting that dynamic. So that's something I'm going to look into as well.
There's a Musée de la Réformation in the Old Town in Geneva, which is really good for learning about the religious part of that history, the religious history of Geneva.
Cool.
Yeah, many, many great places to visit. So we wish you all the best, and I hope you enjoy Geneva. Maybe we'll meet somewhere in a museum
before you go
back to Zimbabwe, but it's been great. You are a fantastic educator, first of all. You've taught us a lot. So we know a bit more about what it means to be a digital artist today and some of the things that you think about as part of your working process. So thank you for being so open and generous with your answers.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. Thank you so much.
Yeah.
Round of applause for you, virtually. Thank you.
All right.